another episode of Walking Movies, but as you can see, I'm actually not walking. That's because the weather's not great. And I meant to record this episode a few days ago and didn't get a chance to. So I'm playing catch up. Today, I'm going to talk about the Marvels. But I'm not going to just talk about the Marvels. I'm going to also talk about the MCU as a whole as well. Because I think that's quite important to the conversation. So I went to see the Marvels on Saturday with my wife and my daughter, who doesn't... It was actually her first Marvel film at the cinema. Because she doesn't really... She does like Marvel films when she sees them, but she doesn't have the drive to kind of go back and watch everything. But Captain Marvel was a film that she saw and really enjoyed. She'd also seen WandaVision. She'd also seen Ms. Marvel. So when I told her that there was going to be a new Captain Marvel film and it was going to feature, you know, two other characters she was familiar with, she was really excited. My wife was a big fan of Captain Marvel. I liked Captain Marvel and those TV shows as well. So we was all excited to go and see this film. And I was concerned with the film coming out because there hadn't been a lot of buzz about it. Marvel films in general have been on a downward spiral, I think it's fair to say, in terms of like box office recognition, with one exception. And so I was excited to see it, but I was worried about how the reaction to the Marvels would be. But I was, judging by the trailers, I was confident it was going to be a fun film, if nothing else. And isn't that what it's all about at the end of the day? So the one thing I will say about the Marvels, off the bat, I enjoyed it, we all enjoyed it, so that's good. But what I did see with people talking about it online was people talking about the fact that because the Marvel Universe has expanded now, and so it's not just films, it's also TV shows and everything else, that this meant that people that hadn't seen the TV shows weren't going to see this film. And that's got to be a worry, right? You know, Marvel should be sitting there thinking, we want everyone to see this film. We don't want people to be left out. But there was this general feeling from people that I knew that hadn't been watching Marvel TV shows that they couldn't go and see this film. If you're on the fence about going to see this film and you are also one of these people that hasn't seen WandaVision or hasn't seen Ms. Marvel, you can go and see the Marvels without needing to watch those shows. They do a very quick and good kind of like recap as to why these characters are in the film. So in that regard, that's a big success. But the fact that that message isn't coming across in trailers and advertising spots, that should be a big concern to Marvel. So let's talk about the film. The film obviously stars Brie Larson as Captain Marvel. We've got Tatiana Paris as Monica Rambeau slash kind of Photon, but it's not really, she's not really called that. And Iman Vellani back as Miss Marvel. Of the three leads, she was by far my favourite. I loved her performance in the Miss Marvel TV show. And, you know, she was just as good in this film. And I think, you know, she was somebody who would kind of dress up as Miss Marvel for Halloween when she was a child. So she's essentially living out her dream. And I think it shows, like, she is just so enthusiastic and exciting, but she doesn't, certainly for me at least, doesn't come across as annoying. You know, she is a really competent actor, and I just think she captures the spirit of Miss Marvel so well. And so she's a joy to watch. She's really something. Now the villain in the film is played by Zay Aston. I think I pronounced that right. I don't know. If not, I apologise. She was Dar Ben. And she was not someone that I was familiar with as an actor, but I knew that she was married to Tom Hiddleston, who of course plays Loki. So I was aware of her, but I hadn't seen her in anything. And I thought she did a really good job playing the villain in this film. She was menacing, but I wouldn't say scary, but I don't think the aim was for her to be particularly scary. She did, you know, come across as somebody very powerful and somebody that, you know, could potentially win the day. And that's what you kind of want in a good villain. So, you know, I thought she was great. I, you know, look forward to seeing her in other stuff. But, you know, this film was about the Marvels. And I enjoyed all of them. I just, as I said, I just had a preference to Ms. Marvel. But everyone did a great job. And yeah, the film is short. The film is 105 minutes, which, you know, for a Marvel film is quite short. And it didn't feel, it dragged at all. But the other thing was, it didn't ever feel like it was rushing through the story, which I think is like such, it's such a fine balance to find, because, you know, sometimes these films can drag on. Sometimes these films do feel like they're just kind of like rushing through story. The number of times I've sat there watching a Marvel film and, you know, I've missed something, or something's happened so quickly that I didn't understand why it happened. And it's only on a kind of rewatch or reading up online afterwards that I've kind of understood what it was. But with this film, it felt really well paced. And I respect that because, as I said, it's hard to do, and sometimes these films don't do a good job of it. Three of us went in to see it. All three of us really enjoyed it, which is exactly what you want when you go to the cinema, right? You want to just go and enjoy yourself. If I'm going to score this film, it's an 8 out of 10. I think that's a fair score. It's not my favourite Marvel film I've seen this year. But it was a great film. It was enjoyable. We all had a good time watching it. So yeah, I think 8 out of 10 is reasonable. Now, that said, the box office of this film has been pretty bad. It opened to $54 million in the US. Opened, I think, about $110 million globally. And $110 million is kind of what Marvel were probably expecting from this film. You know, or at least hoping for. Because that's the kind of figure that a kind of mid-tier Marvel film would get. You know, it was never going to be like an Endgame or a Spider-Man film, which makes like $300 million in a weekend. But $54 million is the lowest opening for a Marvel film of all time. From the MCU, at least. You know, talking about the other kind of Marvel projects. So yeah, this is going to have like an asterisk next to its name, at least for now, and it really doesn't deserve it, because it is a good film. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes films don't find an audience at first, or, you know, aren't hits at the box office, and eventually they find their audience. And we're seeing this a lot recently. This happened with Haunted Mansion. Haunted Mansion was a box office bomb, considered to be a box office bomb. And once that came on Disney Plus, I think the first weekend it was on Disney Plus, it was the most streamed film across any of the major streaming services. So people are enjoying that film now. You know, people are now starting to talk about that film again. Elemental had a really kind of poor opening. That film had legs, you know, because of when it was released and school holidays and stuff like that. It did eventually do pretty well. But again, it was a film that really, you know, again, found an audience on Disney+. And I think this is the problem that they're facing at the moment over at Marvel and Disney with this is that they've almost kind of put themselves into a unfortunate situation, and I don't think they know what's going to happen next. But I've got some ideas, so let's talk about it. Well, welcome to Talking Movies with myself, Nick. Yes, I brought back the format for this occasion. I think it's time we talk about what's going on with Marvel and, to a lesser extent, Disney. So, we had, after Avengers Endgame, which was kind of like the second to last, the penultimate film in the third phase of Marvel films, we had Far From Home come out a few months afterwards. But we're now in Phase 5 of Marvel, which they've kind of combined 4, 5 and 6 as... they're calling it the Multiverse Saga, apparently. I must have missed that memo. But in Phase 4, we had Black Widow, we had Shang-Chi, Eternals, Spider-Man No Way Home, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, Thor Love and Thunder, and Black Panther Wakanda Forever. I have to look at these. I can't remember all of them and when they came out in what order. So that was Phase 4. We obviously, you know, this happened during the pandemic, right? So, you know, after Spider-Man Far From Home came out, release dates all got kind of like shifted about because of the pandemic that we were all suffering through. But look at those films. Like, Black Widow came out in July. Shang-Chi came out in September. Eternals came out in November. Spider-Man came out in December. So you had 4 films. Spider-Man, I appreciate, is like a Sony Marvel co-production, but it's still part of this world. So we had, you know, 4 films come out in, you know, 6 months. It's insane. Then we had Doctor Strange in May, Thor Love and Thunder in July, and Black Panther in November, which was more the kind of pacing you'd get from Marvel in a normal kind of year. Now, those films all did pretty well. Again, not quite hitting the highs of their earlier films, but still kind of decent enough. But the beginning of this year, we entered Phase 5. And I think this is where the kind of... I think the problem started in Phase 4, but I think Phase 5 is where the chickens are coming home to roost. We had Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania come out in February. I've already talked about this film earlier in the year when I went to see it. I have not watched it again. I have not re-watched it. I have not had the urge to, and no one else in the house wanted to watch it when it came on Disney Plus. Ouch. And I think that kind of explains what's happened since. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 came out in May. That was a very good film. That was really enjoyable. I said at the time I thought it was a return to film of the Guardians franchise. But that was kind of like the anomaly there. We've got the Marvels, which just come out and is, you know, also underperforming, like Ant-Man and the Wasp did as well. And then we've got Deadpool 3 as the only Marvel film coming out next year. In 2024, there will only be one Marvel film, and it'll be Deadpool. And this will be the first time Deadpool is fully in this world, right? Because before, you know, is when, you know, Fox was still a separate company before Disney bought them, so that was its own kind of thing. So next year, we've got nothing. What we have had between phases 4 and 5, though, is the introduction of the Marvel television universe, I guess. They're not calling it that, but I'm calling it that. So, starting in January of 2021, we had lots of Marvel shows that came out. We had WandaVision, which tied in well because that series led into Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. And also, you know, that show led to the Marvels as well. But that came out. We then had Falcon and the Winter Soldier. We've had... I'm not going to get these right in order. But we've had What If. We've had She-Hulk. We've had Moon Knight. We've had Miss Marvel. We had Hawkeye. And we've got a couple of series still to come that we know of. Echo, which is a spin-off of Hawkeye, is coming out, I think, in January of next year. We've got The Agatha Show, which I'm calling that now because the name has changed so many times, I can't even remember what it's called anymore. It was at one time called House of Harkness, but I know that's been changed at least once since then. And there's a Daredevil show that's in the works, which is still happening, but they filmed a little bit of it. I think they filmed 2 episodes and scrapped it and started again. So what's happening now, I don't know, or when, I guess, more to the point. But this, to me, is when the problem started. During the pandemic, obviously, people had a lot more time to be at home and to, you know, watch TV and stuff. And even though 2021 was a different year to 2020, there were still things like partial lockdowns. People were still, you know, having time off work, sick, all number of things. So it was easier, I think, to consume a bit of content then. But even regardless of that, I don't think there has been the drive, the interest in the same way that the Marvel franchise had prior to Endgame. It does feel like since Endgame, it has been on a gradual decline. It's definitely been on the slide since then. And as I said, it's not been a completely downward slide because, you know, some of those films overachieved, some of those films have underachieved, and some of them kind of, you know, landed where you expected them to. But again, let's look at those films. You know, Black Widow, I enjoyed, but did we need it at that time? Really? Like, that was a film that was probably at least 2 years out of time, if not three. You know, that should have been a film before we got to, like, the Infinity War Endgame saga in the films. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, I really enjoyed it. Felt a bit different. But again, we've not seen anything with that character since then. So what's the point of having these films to introduce characters if there's no sequel, if there's no spin-off, if there's not a crossover appearance in another film? I don't know. Eternals, you know, that was the first kind of noticeable kind of flop. You know, by November of 2021, the cinemas had pretty much reopened around the world. This was the first Marvel film that was you know, able to have a semi-decent cinema run, and it underperformed and, you know, did fairly well on Disney Plus. But again, we've introduced to a load of characters in that film and still no word of what's going to happen with them again. Spider-Man No Way Home, Spider-Man's its own separate thing, in my opinion, in terms of its popularity and everything like that. Spider-Man will always be popular. And it's a film that the first time I watched it, I loved. And each time I've seen it since, I've enjoyed it less and less. And it's still a good film, don't get me wrong, but it's not the excellent film that I thought it was when I first saw it. It's just a very good film. Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, really enjoyed. And having watched and enjoyed WandaVision, you know, it made that feel a more kind of cohesive thing. But Thor Love and Thunder, I thought, was bloody awful. And Black Panther Wakanda Forever, I did really enjoy. I'm not sure it hit the highs. No, I don't think it hit the highs of the first film. It was a very hard film, I guess, because obviously of what happened to Chadwick Boseman, but it was still a good film, and I did as good a job as they could with it. But yeah, I mean, it didn't reach the success of the first film. And I think there, like, the most successful film that year was Doctor Strange for me. And that's possibly because it had that TV show tie-in. And maybe if Marvel's model was to have these Marvel TV shows which led into films, would that work better? I'm not sure. But I think the other problem is the TV shows that if you don't watch and then they lead up to a film, it's going to turn people away. So it's a big problem. So that's one problem. You know, one problem is they're making too much content. And that content isn't just films anymore, it's also TV shows. And I'm currently in the final stretch of Loki season 2. So I've got 2 episodes left of Loki. I didn't start watching it until it finished. And I'm enjoying it. I am enjoying it. But when Marvel shows were first on, including things like Loki, and of course Loki was one of the ones I forgot earlier on, idiot. We would be watching those on a weekly basis. Now it's like, no, let's just wait until it's all out and then we'll kind of binge it over a few nights. And that's me as a Marvel fan. You know, people that are more casual than that, they're not tuning into this stuff because you've got to dedicate a lot of time into watching these shows. So, yeah, I think the TV is probably not as helpful to the success of these films as they might have thought. I think it might be too much content and people are just not prepared to give up that much time to. Giving up 2 hours in a cinema every 3 or 4 months to watch a Marvel film as a cinematic experience is a different thing than asking people to watch 6-10 episodes of a TV series that you put together. You know? So I do think that that's partly to blame. The other thing that's to blame, And it's also connected to TV, I guess, is Disney Plus. Disney have put themselves in this position now where content is king. They want to keep churning stuff out. They want to keep, you know, putting stuff on their streaming service in order to keep subscribers. And that includes the films. Now, we had, before Disney Plus came out, we had Disney Life in the UK, which was kind of like a trial of what they were going to do with Disney Plus. And on that service, you had access to this massive back catalogue of films and TV shows. You also got access to the Disney channels that were, you know, you got like a simulcast of those channels. But new films would take ages to appear on there. You know, some films would be 18 months to 2 years after their cinema release before they actually put them onto the Disney Life platform. With Disney Plus, when they've launched that globally, the focus on that has changed. And originally, when they were putting films on, it would be a decent time after cinema release, about 6 months or so. But then during the pandemic, they started releasing films straight onto Disney Plus. Black Widow was one of those films. So Black Widow had a day and date release on Disney Plus. Granted, it didn't go on there for free. You had to pay for it. But you know, that was a film that you could go and see at the cinema and pay whatever it costs to go there if your cinema was open. Or you could watch it on Disney Plus for like a flat fee. I think it was about £15. And you could view that as often as you wanted to, before it eventually came onto Disney Plus as a, you know, a full-time product, which I think was about 2 or 3 months after that, I think. And that was kind of the model. Like, it was, it had gone from 6 months down to about 3 months. But as I said, they were also putting these films, some of these films, on for free. So Luca was a Pixar film that was destined for the cinema that went straight onto Disney Plus. Turning Red, the same thing. So some of these films, Soul, just remember another one. These films were put onto Disney Plus for free without like an extra charge. Then you had films like Encanto, which came out for Thanksgiving in America, so like the end of November, and were then on Disney Plus Christmas Day. So a month later, a month after it first came out of the cinema, less than actually, you could watch it on Disney Plus for free. So people have started to kind of get into this mood of, well, do I want to go and see it at the cinema, or because I'm paying for Disney Plus already, should I just wait for it to come on there in 2 or 3 months' time? And I know a lot of people that are making those decisions. You know, when I was hosting a Disney podcast, I would always go and see the Disney films as soon as they came out. But a lot of people that I was doing the shows with couldn't be bothered. They'd just wait for it to come onto Disney Plus. And I understand it. I get why people do it. But it's not a good look for Disney, because they are still spending, you know, big Hollywood budgets on these films. Like, I think the Marvels, let me see, how much was the Marvels? I think it was between $220 and $275 million is what the Marvels cost to make. And normally a film makes its most money in its opening weekend, and it took $114 million. You know? So why are Disney going to keep spending, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars to, you know, to make these films if they're not going to make money at the box office? They're just hoping that people are going to keep subscribing to Disney Plus? You know, I don't know how they work out what money they make on a film by putting it on Disney Plus, right? There must be some metric they have, or some calculation they have, you know, number of views per film equals, you know, 35 cents or something. You know, I don't know. But they must have a calculation. And the thing is, there will come a point where it doesn't match up. Like, if a film is not going to make decent money at the box office, and it's only going to be, you know, getting an audience on Disney Plus, how does that money get made back? I don't know. But what I do know right now is that this is the first time since Iron Man, I guess, that there's been kind of like a kind of backlash against Marvel. You know, this is a time now where people aren't going to see these films. Certainly not rushing to go and see these films. And, you know, at one point, you know, you wanted to see the Marvel film as soon as possible. You didn't want to have spoilers. You wanted to be able to talk about it with your friends, talk about it online. There was a real buzz about it. And that's gone. You know, that type of fandom seems to have gone. And I think it's because they've oversaturated it. Now, what's going to be interesting, as I said earlier, next year sees Deadpool 3 come out, and then there's nothing coming out until May of 2025. So that's a big gap. That's a big gap for Marvel. It's their biggest gap they've ever had. At a time when it's crucial to understand what people want. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, they've got some interesting films lined up. They've got a new Captain America film coming out. There will be some Avengers films coming out as well. Fantastic Four is on the horizon, even though they still haven't announced casting officially. As I record this video, rumours that Reed Richards has been cast, but not that I know as of recording right now. So they are going full steam ahead. But in 2 years' time, when, you know, Marvel films start coming out regularly again, will people be watching them? And that to me is the concern. That to me is what they need to think about. So that's it. That's what I've got to say about that. But before I sign off, I will talk about the end credits scene. So if you don't want to hear me talk about it, stop the video right now. I'm giving you ample time to do so. Otherwise, this is what I want to talk about with regards to the mid-credit scene of the Marvels. I somehow managed, like, the film came out, I think, Wednesday in some countries, and I didn't see it till Saturday. I don't know how I avoided spoilers for this film, but I did. And I'm so glad I did, because the mid-credit scene is incredible. It's my favourite mid-credit, end-credit scene in a long time. I can't remember one I've enjoyed as much as that. I'm sure there is one that I'm just not thinking about right now, but certainly it made me feel great. And what we saw in this mid-credit sequence was the start of the X-Men universe being introduced into the MCU. We got a small hint of that at the end of Ms. Marvel, when it turned out that Ms. Marvel herself was a mutant of some kind. And they even played a few bars of the X-Men animated series theme tune when that was revealed. But, you know, this film confirmed the start of it, and we got to see the new Beast in this mid-credit sequence. And when I say new Beast, I mean that kind of like half-heartedly, because it was Kelsey Grammer doing the voice of Beast, but he wasn't actually playing Beast. Beast in this, what appears to be this new version of the X-Men universe that we're going to have introduced over here in the MCU, was a CGI creation. And I think it's really smart, because, you know, Kelsey Grammer is not getting any younger. Beast is a fairly agile character in the cartoons and comics. And he's had a few moments in the films, but nothing too strenuous. So I think going down this route and making him a CGI character is actually a very smart idea. It means that you can still have Kelsey Grammer do the voice for him, but you don't have to worry about him doing stunts and stuff like that. So I was delighted by this. There were other bits in the scene, but I won't spoil everything for you. That's the main spoiler, that's the thing. But I sat there in the cinema when that happened, not knowing it was going to happen, and like, just turn into a little kid again. Like, I was so excited. I had no idea it was happening. And, you know, I just sat and watched a film that I'd enjoyed. And then to have that, you know, when I watched Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania, you know, I sat through all the credits, and then we saw a snippet from Loki season 2, which was good, but it was just a preview of a TV show that was going to be coming out later that year. You know, this is a real kind of, this is what you want to be talking about online. This is the excitement back of like, oh my God, have you seen this? Let's discuss it. So, yeah, I think the Marvels did a lot of things right, and that was certainly one of them. And I'm just sad that a lot of people won't even notice this scene now until it hits Disney Plus. Which, with the way things are going right now, that could be Christmas Day. That could be the big Christmas Day film this year for Disney Plus. I don't know. You know, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Wish. That's the big Disney film for this year. And, you know, it's a big 100th anniversary celebration film. And if that film doesn't do well, but that will probably be my next review. So, thank you for watching. This has been a much longer episode than normal. I have obviously not been doing these because I've not been going to the cinema. If you haven't already, I have been doing vlogs about my trip to Universal Studios back in September. I've really enjoyed doing those. You know, I hope you, if you haven't checked those out, please check those out. You know, there's more stuff that will be coming to the YouTube channel. And there will be more walking movies. I just need to go and see more films. There just hasn't been a whole lot that I've wanted to see. Now, there's a few. I want to see Saltburn. I want to see Wish. Wonka's out in a couple of weeks as well. And I'm sure I've forgotten a couple of films already that I want to go and see. So things are starting to pick up again after a slow month or two. But, you know, we'll see what happens. But there will definitely be more walking movies. Whether it's going to be in this format, whether I'm actually going to be able to film outside again and it's not raining too hard, we'll see. But look, thank you for watching this or listening to this if you listen to the podcast. And as always, Flynn lives.